You're listening to Abstinence After Sex. Hello, and thank you for coming back to another episode of Abstinence After Sex. My name is Bethany, and I'm your host. And you guys, today we have a good episode. I'm just going to get right into it because I'm like excited about it. Today we're going to be talking about soul ties. And the theme scripture, or the main scripture, is from Genesis 21 verses 8 through 13. But we're going to be talking about soul ties. So what is a soul tie? So a soul tie is something that ties two people or two things together through the spiritual realm. So a soul tie, there are good soul ties and there are also bad soul ties. The Bible talks about a lot of good soul ties. In Ephesians 5:31, they talk about how a husband and wife become one, and that soul tie is through, you know, sex. And in 1 Samuel 18:1, they talk about a soul tie between two friends. So they talk about Jonathan and David and how Jonathan's soul was knit with David's soul. So there can be soul ties from any relationship. It doesn't just have to be through sex, and there can be good and bad soul ties. So we're going to talk about, you know, the bad soul ties, because the main purpose of this podcast is to help you figure out how to live your best life when it comes to your sexual life. What is a bad soul tie? So a bad soul tie, one common bad soul tie is through relationships. So I know I'm not the only person that's been through a situation where you're with a person and you know they're not right for you. Like, you know, like, there's no doubting the fact that they're not right for you. You're not right for them. They don't know the Lord. Like, you just know for a fact that it's not a good connection, but you keep going back to that person. Or your friends tell you to leave, but you keep going back. And the reason for that is because you're bound to that person. You have a soul tie to that person. So you might have had sex with them multiple times or even once, and you can't figure out, like, why do I keep going back to them? Like, everything is making sense that everybody is telling me, like, he's not a good person, he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Or sometimes you're in an abusive relationship, like, he's hitting you and stuff, but you keep going back. And a lot of times we mistake it as love. So people that go back, I know I've went back and I've said, oh, I just love this person so much. And we confuse love with being bound to someone. So it's not love, it's just that your soul is tied to that person. We confuse love as an emotion. Like, love is not an emotion, love is an action. In John 3:16, that's a famous verse. I know you know this verse, but I'm gonna say it anyway. John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So right then and there, you see that love is an action and not a emotion. God so loved the world. So what did he do? Because he loved someone, he gave. Love and gave. He loved the world so much that he gave his son. And when it's real love, it does not perish. Like, it will not break you down. It will not tear you down emotionally. It will not tear you down mentally. It will not tear you down physically. It will actually give you life. So that relationship that you're thinking about right now, because I know you're thinking about that relationship, it could be a friendship, it could be somebody in your family, that specific relationship that you're thinking about right now, you know, or you can tell if it's really love or if it's actually a soul tie based off of the fruit that it bears. So my question for you is, does it bring you life? Like, these are the questions you have to ask yourself. Like, this relationship that I'm thinking about, is it bringing me life? And not in the world sense, like, oh yes, you giving me life, in the sense of Are you able to walk clearly? Are you able to speak clearly? Are you able to live on purpose and live how God wants you to live? So are you living? Do you have life, or are you just surviving? You know, based off of the fruit that it bears and based off of if it's connecting you to God, and not in the sense of like, oh, everything is going wrong, so I keep having to pray. That's the wrong way that God should be in your relationship. God should be in between the two of you, meaning that person is pushing you to go to church, that person is pushing you to pray, to read your devotionals. You're reading together, you're praying together. Is that happening in your relationship? If no, then I don't know what to tell you. I know a few people are like, oh, God needs to give me a sign. Like, I wish God would give me a sign whether or not he's the right one. Boo, I am your sign. This podcast is your sign. This is your sign. So do not go to God asking for another sign. This is his sign that he is giving you today. And it's up to you to take the sign or not. So you're trying to figure out if he's the one. And you can figure out if he's the one based off of the fruit that he bears. And it's not enough that he's like sitting in the pew at church every Sunday. I've gotten confused by that. A lot of people get confused by that. Like, oh yeah, he goes to church every Sunday, so apparently he's good. Matthew 7:15-20, it says, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, so you know this is the creme de la creme. It says, beware of false prophets who dress in sheep clothing. You know who they really are based off of the fruit that they bear. And then Jesus also says, what do you do with the bad trees? Like, based off with the trees that aren't bearing great fruit or good fruit. He told you to cut them down. Not only cut them, but burn them and throw them into a fire. That relationship that you're thinking about, that person that you're thinking about figuring out if they're the one, or that friendship you're trying to figure out if you even need this friendship anymore. Like, every time you talk to that person, all you talk about is the past, or all you talk about is gossip, and you don't talk about your life goals. You don't talk about how you're getting closer to God. You're just basically just on the phone with this person 24/7 talking about nonsense, nothing. Talking about what you're going to wear next week to a trip. But you're not talking about how you're going to fix your debt and how you're going to get closer to God. So that relationship that you're thinking about right now, whether it's sexual or non-sexual, whether it's a friendship, you know if it's a good friendship based off of the fruit that it bears. And when I say fruit that it bears, like the fruits of the spirit. I'm not even going to act like I know all of the fruits of the spirit. So it's patience, love, kindness. But that's your homework assignment. Look up the fruits of the spirit in the Bible and match it up to the person that you're like trying to figure out if they should be in your life or not. If they do not match up like 80%, because we all don't have all of the fruits of the spirit, but that's our goal. Or if they're not aspiring to be like that, then boo, it's time to cut them off. It's time to get the scissors, cut, and it's time to burn them and let them go, because they're not giving you life. They're not supplying you with what you need, and it's not love. It's not love. It's just a soul tie. In Proverbs 22:24-25, it says, beware of making friends who have an angry spirit. Why? Because you will learn their ways, and it will destroy your soul. So right then and there, you know that like friendships that we have on a day-to-day basis is not just a outside thing. The people that you hang around with, what's that saying? It says the birds of a feather will flock together. The people that you hang around the most, the people that you talk to the most, the person that you're having sex with, the person that you're connecting to, crying with, laughing with, joking with, you are going to become like that person. So you have to be very, very selective in who you spend your time with and like who you give your love to. The Bible also says, guard your heart because it will it determines the course of your life. So the people that you let into your heart, the people that you let into your mental space, that determines the course of your life. If you look back at your life right now, at all the friends that you had, all the relationships that you had, the relationships and the friendships that you had steered the way you went through life. My challenge to you today is to examine all of your relationships and figure out if it's love or if it's just a soul tie. And if it's just a soul tie that you don't need, that's not a good soul tie, then you need to let it go. So, I told you we had a main scripture, and it is Genesis 21, verses 8 through 13. And this is an example of a bad soul tie. And it's about Abraham. I'm not sure if you know about Abraham. If you went to VBS and stuff like that, you sung a song, talk about Father Abraham had many sons. How many sons had Father Abraham? Well, how many of you know this? Father Abraham actually did have a son before Isaac. And yeah, let me give you some context before I even read this scripture. So our main scripture is Genesis 21, 8 through 13. But just so you can get the back context. So Abraham was really old, and his wife Sarah was really old too. And God told Abraham that he was going to have a son, and his son was going to have so many children, and he was going to be the father of many generations. So that's why the song says Father Abraham had many sons. And so Sarah was like, I'm old, I'm like 80 years old, what baby is popping out of my vagina? Like, that's, she probably didn't say that, but that's literally how you, when you read the text, that's literally how it's coming out. So Sarah decides to help God out, quotation marks, because we can't really help God out, but we think we can help God out. How many times have you, like, said, oh, God said that I was going to get married, so let me just message this person, or let me just hit this person up, because that's obviously my husband, because I don't see nobody around me now, so maybe God wants me to make some steps. No, boo, sit down. So Sarah, like many of us, like many women out here, decide to try to help God. So she gets an Egyptian, one of her Egyptian slaves, and she tells Abraham, look, I can't have children, so, and I'm old, so you go have sex with my maid, and probably this is the way that God is going to bear all these sons from you. So Abraham listens to him. Abraham listens to his wife, and he has sex with the Egyptian slave. Her name is Hagar, and they have a son, and his name is Ishmael. So just so you can get the backstory of everything. At this time in that we're going to read, Ishmael is like 13 years old. And after that, after like 12 years of being barren, well, after 12 years of Ishmael being alive, Sarah actually does have a baby. And I think she's like 99 and Abraham is like 100 or something like that. Something crazy, some crazy numbers. And they have a baby and his name is Isaac. And that is the baby that God was talking about. That is the son that God is talking about. That is the miracle. So let's go into the word and see where we're at. And see how Abraham had to sever his soul tie with Hagar, because he built a relationship with Hagar, even though the Bible doesn't say it. Like, when you have a child with someone, you have to have a relationship with that person. So Abraham still has this soul tie to this Egyptian slave, this soul tie that both him and Sarah created. God did not put this soul tie in their lives. They created it themselves. And a lot of time we create our soul ties ourselves. God just has to figure out how to fix our mess. So we're going to see how Abraham deals with his soul tie. So Genesis 21, 8 through 13. It says, when Isaac grew up and was about to be weaned, Abraham prepared a huge feast to celebrate the occasion. But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham and her Egyptian servant Hagar, making fun of her son Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded him, "Get rid of the slave woman and her son. He is not going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac. I won't have it." This upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son. But God told Abraham, "Do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. But I will also make a nation from the descendants of Hagar's son, because he is your son too." So the first thing that I want to focus on is Abraham's reaction. Abraham's reaction to Sarah telling him that he got to get rid of Hagar, his soul tie, is the reaction that we often have. So how many times has your friend come up to you and say, "Oh, well, you need to let him go, girl. He's not good for you. He's doing this, this, that, and the third." And you may not get angry outwardly, like how Abraham was angry. It may not be visible anger, but you're uncomfortable on the inside. And it's hard for the person who's telling you or giving you this advice to see why it's hard for you to let that person go. They haven't had what you had with that person. So they haven't spent time with that person like you spent time. Abraham probably spent money on Hagar. He probably cried with Hagar. He probably held her hair while she was throwing up. Like, he spent time with her while she was pregnant. He spent time with her while they were raising their son. And you've spent time in that relationship. You've laughed with that person. You've cried with that person. You have, like, silly jokes with that person. Like, you've had sex with that person. That person has held you at night. During that time, you have created a strong bond, and you probably don't even mean to, or you probably don't even like that doesn't want to be your reaction, but you will get a little bit upset or uneasy when someone tells you, "Oh, you just need to let them go," because you spent hours with that person, you spent time with that person, and you might know what they're saying is true, but in your soul it feels uneasy because you've tied your soul to that person. So you've tied your soul to the person that they're telling you to cut. And there will always be resistance when you know that in order to get rid of that soul tie, you have to cut yourself too. So when something is tied together, when a rope is tied together, or like when strings are tied together very intensely, you can't cut one part of the string without cutting the other part of the string. So that's why sometimes we have defense mechanisms up, or we'll go back to that person because we're scared of losing that side of us. We're scared of losing the familiar person that we know. We're scared of losing part of us because when we cut that person off, we're cutting a piece of ourselves off too. So that's the main reason why we run back, or why we can't seem to let go, because it's common. It's us. It's a part of us now. You spent time with that person. You tied your soul to that person. So even if you know that it's not right, you know that you're not supposed to be with that person, you know that they do not know the Lord, you will still want to be with that person because you've tied your soul to that person, and you don't want to hurt yourself by cutting them off. Let's look at how Abraham, or how we're supposed to cut our soul ties. One, the first thing I want you to know, that you cannot cut that person off, or you cannot cut your soul tie without being hurt. It's just not possible. Like how I just said beforehand, when you cut a piece of string, you can't just cut one piece of string. You're going to have to cut the other piece too. It's not possible. You will be hurt. A piece of you will be hurt. That's why Abraham got so upset. He was angry because he had to let go not only Hagar, the person that he was sleeping with, but he had to let go of his son. Like, how many of you would just send your son off to the wilderness? So I wanted to be clear that what I'm asking you to do, or what I'm suggesting, is not going to be easy. I know for a fact that it's not going to be easy. If you've been through a relationship before, you know that it's not easy. but it's necessary. And the second thing is, it's not going to be easy and it's going to hurt, but it becomes more bearable when you have a relationship with God. We see that Abraham had a relationship with God because God spoke to him. And not only did God speak to him, but Abraham heard him and Abraham recognized God's voice. And lastly, Abraham obeyed what God told him to do. You're like, Bethany, I done tried so many times to let this man go. I done deleted him off my Facebook. I did everything, but he keeps coming back. I keep messaging him or I keep thinking about him when it's late at night and stuff like that. My answer to you is, you have to have a deeper relationship with God, because that passion that you have for that person, you thinking about that person 24/7, you're wondering where they're at, you get upset when they don't text you or something like that, or you get upset with the thought of them being with somebody else, even though you know that they're not good for you, you don't want them with someone else, you're like obsessing over that person. And that obsession that you have, God wants that obsession. He wants you to love him that deeply. He wants you to be bound to him that deeply. He wants you to long for him. He wants you to seek him. He wants to know all of your secrets. He wants you to cry with him. He wants you to cry to him. He wants you to just love him as much as you love that person that has not died for you, as much as you love that person that has probably hit you, probably talked down to you. He wants that love. And he wants to give you more love in return. And I've said this in past podcasts. You get a relationship with God by being in your word. Simple as that. I'm not going to complicate it. Don't try to complicate it, you guys. It's simple as that. Read the word daily. Get into the word daily. That's all I can tell you. Read your devotional. Get the Bible app. Do it daily. The more that you do it, the more that you listen to sermons, Bible-based sermons, the more that you dive into the word by yourself, get that quiet time with God, the easier it will become. And then the third thing and the final thing that we see Abraham do is he sends Hagar and his son away. So I just want you to know that everything has to go. If they bought you a ring, if they bought you a necklace, if they bought you, like, if you got a teddy bear, if you got a picture of that time when y'all went to the movies, if you got that movie ticket, it gotta go. It has to go. If your hair is a certain way because they like that hairstyle, you gotta change your hair, boo. You gotta do everything that reminds you of that person, it has to go. And social media, too. Do not, if you have to block them, block them. Don't allow them to see stuff. Don't keep them on your social media so that they can see that you're doing good. No, they don't need to see anything about your life. They don't need to hear anything about your life. They don't belong in your life, so they don't get the pleasure to know what you're doing. So you need to block them on social media. You need to block them off your phone. If you need to get a new number, then get a new number. If you just need to block their number and delete their number, then that's what you need to do. But you have to cut them off. Jesus said himself, everything that does not bear good fruit has to be cut off and burned. So cut them off. And the last thing that you need to do is to renounce the bond, and you need to renounce that relationship. And I know this sounds very churchy, and especially it's hard, especially if you're not even used to like reading the Bible out loud or saying your prayers out loud. Renouncing something seems like something a pastor has to do, but we need to know that we have power in the name of Jesus. We have power in our tongue. We have power in the things that we say over our lives. God has given us the power to do stuff and to renounce spirits from our lives. And you can renounce that soul tie off of your life. And you might still be saying like, but Bethany, I don't say stuff out loud. And I know it's hard. For me, I'm a quiet person. Like, I don't say stuff out loud. I just started saying my prayers out loud. I just started reading the Bible out loud. But there's like science behind saying stuff out loud. You know, people say like affirmations like, I'm great, I'm powerful and stuff like that. There has been like scientific proof. Like when you say it out loud, it it retains back into your brain and your body hears it. When your body hears it or your brain hears it, it has a different effect. It has an effect on your body. So yes, it might feel weird and you might feel like awkward saying it, but wouldn't you rather feel awkward saying it to yourself by yourself than to look foolish to other people when you go back to that relationship that's not working, when you go back to that relationship that's tearing you down, that's taking you away from your purpose? It's really up to you. Today's podcast is very simple. I get simpler and simpler every time I make these podcasts, you guys, because I hate when it's complicated. The word is not complicated. God is not complicated. He is very simple. He just wants you to obey his commands and be in his will so that he can bless you. It's that simple. So I just pray that you got something out of this, that you are able to renounce those soul ties, that you're able to get rid of those soul ties that you have. I ask that you reflect on every relationship that you have, whether it's your mama, whether it's your dad, whether it's your boyfriend, whether it's your fiance. I just pray that this was helpful, and I can't wait to talk to you next. All right, peace.